For our scripture reading this morning, Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Excuse me, verse 38. Then he said to them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood."
There was a man who called the church one day and asked if he could speak to the head hog. The secretary was a little startled at that, and she said, "Sir, if you're talking about our pastor, I would appreciate if you'd call him Reverend, or at least ask for the pastor. You can't refer to him as a head hog." The man said, "I was calling because I have $10,000 to give to the building fund." And then she interrupted and said, "Well, I think I see the pig coming right now." By the way, that did not happen at Maranatha Baptist Church. When we talk about money, though, a lot of people are skeptical about the church. Sad, but true. A lot of people think the church is greedy, wants people's money for the wrong reasons, and fail to see the biblical commands and truths about grace giving, about God-fearing giving, about the importance of giving that is an aspect, an important part of our worship to Almighty God. The Bible has a lot to say about giving. In Mark chapter 12, we find some of those principles that are found throughout Scripture, principles of biblical giving from the tremendous example of a poor widow. An unnamed widow that is left indelibly her mark upon the church, written in Mark and Luke. She teaches us some valuable lessons about God-fearing giving, about biblical giving. This is, interestingly, also the last account of Jesus' public ministry. This occurred on the Tuesday of the Passion Week. And after this, his ministry would be with his disciples in private. In the final days of preparation before the Lord would sacrifice and give his life on Calvary for all of us. I want to notice in Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 38, the problem with pretentious giving. In verses 38 through 41, we note the problem with pretentious giving, and we learn from bad examples of how our giving should not be. Please notice once again in our text, Mark chapter 12, verse 38. "And Jesus said unto them in his doctrine," or doctrine is another word for teaching, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast their money. Notice that phrase, beheld how they cast their money into the treasury. "And many that were rich cast in much." We notice the problem with pretentious giving, and first we notice in this text, pretentious giving is frequently hypocritical. Those who give with a pretense are doing it out of sheer hypocrisy. Christ exposed the hypocrisy many times of the scribes and Pharisees, and he warned the people at the beginning of this text, beware of the scribes. Watch out for them. They may cause you to stumble. Be on guard for their evil influence. For they did many things in an attitude and spirit of pretense, which is characterized by the assumption of power, of dignity, of self-worth, of importance. And there are several areas in this text that speak of that pompous attitude that the scribes had, of an ostentatious display of activities in verses 38 and 39 that include wearing long clothing, salutations in the marketplace, and wanting chief seats, whether it was in the synagogue or the marketplace. Now, this wearing of long clothing, they took pleasure strutting around, walking around with their long robes that were supposed to be signs of piety or signs of scholarship, that they were exalted, very important people. They also wanted the salutations that they would receive in the marketplace as they walked around in the spirit of piety. They loved the accolades of people in public. And especially at times, they wanted people to come along and kiss their hand. They wanted people to know their status. They wanted to be seen by others. And then they also wanted chief seats, whether it was in the synagogues or at the feast. They wanted the uppermost rooms. They wanted places reserved for them. They wanted to be recognized as honored guests, as leaders in the society. The tragedy, as we see in the text, is that they were very corrupt. They were hypocritical. God saw their hearts, knew the corruptness of their hearts, and we see that exposed many times in the gospel accounts. And what happens here, particularly in verse 40, was their treatment or mistreatment of widows. The text says they were devouring their houses while at the same time making long prayers. Again, wanting the show, the attention. What was it that they were doing in their greed and their activities with the widows? They took advantage of the widows. One of the functions of the scribes was they sometimes were consultants in the affairs of the widows, particularly in relationship to their estates. This role gave them the opportunity at times to convince the widows that they needed to give all their money, all their estates to the scribes. I mean, after all, they were spiritual people. They were godly people. They were people that were exalted within the society, and they used their deceit to steal from these poor widows. And ironically, later on in the text, we see a poor widow coming and bringing her offerings to the Lord. The text says they were literally swallowing up their houses, swindling from them, taking their estates, taking from their money. And Christ exposed their hypocrisy here in this text by pointing out how they hid their covetousness by long prayers, by the showiness of their prayers. So once again, people would see and hear what they were doing and think much of them, hiding their greed through their long prayers. They wanted to impress people about their devotion to God when it was all sheer fakery. It was all hypocrisy. And we're reminded once again, my friend, that we have to be careful about our lives. We may not be rich. We may not have status. But God wants the real you and I in our worship. God wants you and I not to be engaged in pretense, in pious actions, but to have a real heart that is focused on worshiping God as we gather together on every Sunday, on every Lord's Day. In this text, we read that Jesus stated that these hypocrites would receive greater judgment for their hypocrisy, for their activities, for their showiness. They would receive greater judgment. Now, this text does not specifically refer to giving, but we read in other texts how Christ would attack the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the scribes. They often were linked together. The scribes were the interpreters of the law, and the Pharisees would go to the scribes to find out how they were to live by the law, and oftentimes the letter of the law and additions to the law, as we studied about a month ago. But we notice in a text such as Matthew 23, verse 23, where Christ says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, which were judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not leave the other undone." They were so careful about their tithe, they would even tithe some of the smallest herbs that they could find from their farm, from their produce, from their work. They would find the tiniest things and make sure they tithe those. But Christ exposed their hypocrisy. They failed to recognize what he described here in Matthew 23, 23, the weightier matters of the law. There are things that are more important. As we've studied before in this Gospel of Mark, God looks at our heart. He understands our heart and wants a heartfelt worship that is sincere. We worship him in spirit and in truth, or need to worship him in spirit and truth. So pretentious giving frequently is hypocritical, but we also notice pretentious giving often desires recognition, as we will note in verse 41. We've seen in the text how scribes wanted recognition. Now Christ makes observation about how the rich people were giving. And we notice in verse 41, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury," emphasis on how they cast their money, "and many that were rich cast in much." Jesus was finishing his public teaching in what was called the court of the Gentiles, and moved to another court through several doors to what was called the court of the women, where there were 13 receptacles where offerings were brought, where their money was brought. They were called shofar chests because of their trumpet-like shape. It was the Passover season, so many people would be gathered as they would bring their offerings to drop them in one of these 13 chests. A man by the name of Paul Tuck gives a vivid description of what this scene might have looked like. He describes it this way: "It is a mild Sabbath morning in the city of Jerusalem. The sun has not risen to its full strength, and yet people are already lined up all the way down the dusty road that leads to the temple. Smoke is in the air because the animals have been sacrificed and burned on the altar. And in that slow-moving line, there are rich and poor alike, carrying with them the offerings that are to be presented before the Lord God Jehovah. The line leads to a small square room lined with metal collection boxes. As you can imagine, the noise of the coins make loud clanging sounds as they're cast into the receptacles. Most of the people shuffling along quickly make their donation and move on. But the wealthy citizens pass by, making loud clanging noises by virtue of their many coins, and they seem to draw favored glances. Many seem quite impressed at the generosity of those who cast an abundance of big, heavy coins into the boxes." Now, we don't know exactly how all of this happened, but as we've emphasized twice already in verse 41, Christ is sitting there making observation in this room of the women, court of the women, making observation, as the text says, how they are giving and not what they are giving. The rich were notable for their attire, for their conduct, just like the scribes, as we described. And the text says they cast in much, which literally means many things or many pieces. So they were casting in a lot, and it would make loud noises as they clanged in these metal boxes. Christ was concerned about how they were giving their money, What kind of attention were they trying to draw to themselves? For pretentious giving is often hypocritical and it is often wanting recognition. Think with me in the Sermon on the Mount where Christ instructed, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They will have lost their heavenly reward, and the only reward they will receive is the accolade of fellow human beings who see and observe how they are giving." And also in this same Sermon on the Mount, Christ instructs that our alms should be given in secret. Our Heavenly Father sees in secret and He will reward us for that kind of spirit of giving. Now in verses 42 through 44, we want to look at the biblical practice of giving. The practice of biblical giving in verses 42 through 44, we've seen by the bad example the problem with pretentious giving. It is often hypocritical. It often desires recognition. Now we notice the contrast of the scribes, the religious leaders of that day, the rich people. We find a widow giving us an example of a pattern for biblical giving. Christ ignored the pompous, glory-seeking hypocrites, but notice this poor widow lady. Notice verse 42. "And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." What a contrast that we find here in these verses. And Christ wanted to use this observation of the treasury as a teaching example to His disciples to make observation. The same Paul Tuck goes on to describe this portion of the narrative. "It's not a surprise that no one would pay attention to this frail little widow that entered the room. Only one person sees her, and that is the one who sees all. But she nonetheless stops at the collection terminal. She reaches into her purse and carefully draws out two rather insignificant coins. Mites, the smallest coin used by the Romans. She tosses both of these lightweight coins into the big metal box. But the faint click is drowned out by the many coins being cast in other boxes by the rich people. So no one notices her. But alas, the Lord Jesus Christ noticed her." And I believe there's three biblical truths that we can learn from these verses, from this poor widow lady. The first truth is that biblical giving is offered humbly. Should be offered out of a spirit of humility, of thanksgiving, of grace, the recipient of God's grace and the willingness to give in grace. The Greek language here, using the aorist participle at the beginning of this sentence, and that may not mean a lot to you, but it draws attention to her approach. "There came a certain poor woman," a poor widow. And in the Greek language, the attention is to the way she came. She was not calling attention to herself. She did not put on a big show so that everyone would know that she gave everything. She didn't call attention and say, "Hey, everybody, come around here and look what I'm doing. This is all I have and I'm giving it all." She came in a spirit of humility in contrast to what the Pharisees and the scribes were engaged in. We find she is described as poor, which would cite that she was a peasant type lady or a beggar. This was her financial condition. And she offered what she had in a spirit of humility, not trying to draw attention to herself. And then secondly, we notice biblical giving is offered sacrificially. The biblical giving desires to be sacrificial. She gave her two mites. Now, the mite was a Greek copper coin, which the text says had the value of a farthing, which was the smallest Roman coin. To the best of our understanding and research, what these two coins were worth would be about 1/64 of a common laborer's daily wage. Or to give it a percentage, it was 1.56% of what a common worker, a poor worker, would earn during a full day of work there in that society, if they could work a full day. Just to bring it a little bit into perspective, today's minimum wage is $6.55 an hour. I remember, by the way, when I got $1 an hour, when the minimum wage was a lot less. Don't you feel sorry for me? And as I was researching minimum wage, there was a time when the minimum wage was 25 cents. Some of you might remember that. I don't go that far back to remember when minimum wage was 25 cents. I do remember when gas was 25 cents, though. And based on that, 8 hours of minimum wage, a person before taxes would earn $52.40. 1/64 of our minimum wage in one day would be 82 cents. Now, 82 cents can buy a few bits of food. Not a whole lot, but on a hungry stomach, it can help out. At McDonald's, it can buy a small hamburger, I think before tax. It can buy maybe some small morsels of food to help somebody who's starved at the marketplace. She was a beggar, a peasant. Those two mites were valuable to her. They could have provided something on an empty stomach. And she threw them both in. She could have kept one for herself and had 41 cents, according to, again, these statistics. She gave sacrificially. Having no money would buy her no food. And she was willing to sacrifice all. And as we said, Jesus made a point to call the attention of his disciples to this kind of giving. In verse 43, he called unto him his disciples and said, "This poor widow has cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury." Christ wanted them to see the object lesson, to point out how she was giving sacrificially. Now, the rich gave out of their abundance, as verse 44 states. That means they gave out of their surplus, is the idea of abundance. It wasn't out of their necessities that they were giving. It was what is excess. They had excess money of their actual need. And they were simply giving out of their excess. Not what she needed to, what they needed to make a living. She is the one that made the sacrifice. She gave all that she had. Jesus valued her sacrifice much greater than these large, pompous gifts of the religious people or rich people in his day. It is interesting to note, and I've read this on a number of occasions, that charitable giving in America and giving to churches, the percentage actually declines dramatically the more people, more money people have. It is the lower income people, the middle class in America, that give a higher percentage than what the wealthy in America give. You would think it would be the other way around. R.G. Letourneau, who owned an excavating company back in the early 1900s, a millionaire, perhaps billionaire, gave 90%. To the Lord's work. He said, "I can live on 10%. The third principle we notice here in this text is biblical giving is offered in dependence on God. In dependence on God. The widow, in giving all that she had, meant that she completely entrusted her life to God, to His care, to His support of her needs. William Kelly said, "The test of liberality is not what is given, but what is left behind after the gift is given. She gave her entire livelihood. Her giving demonstrated an absolute trust in dependence on God. She gave her all, and she was saying, Lord, now you're going to have to supply so I can have some food, so I can meet my needs. Total dependence on God. God wants our dependence on Him. And perhaps this recession that we are going through right now is bringing us to our knees, saved and unsaved Americans alike, hopefully unsaved to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ, and saved Americans to the recognition it is God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He will provide and make us more dependent and not independent. We like to think of ourselves in an independent way as Americans. But God wants us to be more dependent upon Him. Give us this day our daily bread. She learned that she had to trust God to provide. And Christ wanted His disciples to note this. Look at this. See what she has done. She far surpasses any other giving that we have seen here today in the court of the women. These rich people, these scribes were ostentatious in their giving, but she gave to the extreme. Sometimes, my friend, we get stuck on the tithe. When God desires and expects more than the tithe from the believer, we may feel we've done a great favor to the Lord because we tithe our income. Do you give out of rules and regulations, out of a spirit of keeping an Old Testament law? Or are you giving out of a spiritual act of worship and service to the Lord? God wants our generosity. He wants us to give sacrificially. Does that mean we all should have given our paycheck this week? No. But God is using an example here of a poor widow lady to teach us humility, sacrifice, dependence on Him. God wants us to be wise stewards, and that's a whole other message. For there's much to say in Scripture. How we handle our money says a lot about our walk with God, about our love of money or our recognition that we have a right attitude about money, that we are wise stewards with what He gives us. But He also wants us to give generously. And tragically, because some Christians have not been wise stewards, they put themselves in debt, in bondage to banks and credit cards. They can't give as they should. And so the two do come together, though we don't have time to get on the issue of stewardship today. We find later on in these passages of Mark, soon Christ would give His life for the world. This is Tuesday of the Passion Week. The widow gave her entire livelihood, all that she had. And Jesus, in a few days, would give His life on Calvary for our sins, giving us the greatest gift the world has ever known. As Scripture says, thanks be to God for His unspeakable or indescribable gift. He gave. What are we giving back to Him who's demonstrated His wondrous grace to us? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. Isn't it incredible that God used this unknown widow to teach us a marvelous lesson, teach the church for 2,000 years a marvelous lesson on biblical giving? Her insignificant gift left an indelible mark on the church and still leaves it today for you and I to learn lessons, principles of biblical giving. One little act of sacrifice, and she's in the Bible, and made a difference for you and I today. Towards the end of World War II, it has been documented that some of the POWs were able to have an impact by sabotaging the munitions factories. Jews, Poles, were employed to build bombs that would rain upon England and other areas as the Germans would attack their enemies. Richard Evans wrote about one example of their success. He said, "A German bomb fell through the roof of my wife's grandmother's house in the east end of London in 1943. It lodged unexploded in her bedroom wardrobe. When the bomb disposal unit came, they opened it up and found a note inside that said, 'Don't worry, English, we're with you, Polish workers.' One act of courage saved a family's life. And one act of selfless surrender, sacrifice, and generosity, I hope, has left a mark on our hearts and lives today. We've heard the story before. We've read it. But will you let the truth seep into your heart and soul? I know it is hard, my friend. The love of money is out there. The desire for luxuries, for our hobbies, our sports, to enjoy the things of this earth. But Christ said, 'Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust will corrupt, where thieves will break through or steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven.'" Are we laying up treasures in heaven? The poor widow is quite a contrast to the rich young ruler that we studied last week. Kept his possessions. Was not willing to follow Jesus Christ. Walked away from the gospel encounter. And now we have in contrast a poor widow teaching us a lesson. And we find the example of the scribes, the pretentious rich, in the way they give in contrast to the sacrifice, the dependence on God, the humility of this poor widow. She taught us the way we give is just as important how much we give. For our giving is a very important part of our worship. It is our opportunity, along with our songs and our prayers and our scripture, to point to Christ, to point to Almighty God, to thank Him for His unspeakable gift. He gave His all. How are we giving today? Are we following the example of the ostentatious? Are we following the example of the poor widow?